Before we sit down, we're going to read Proverbs 25, verses 22 to 23, verses 21 to 22. Proverbs 25. Today we're actually wrapping up a sermon series, Wisdom for Life, that where we'll be talking about that life makes sense when we live it the way God intends. Proverbs 25, verse 21 and 22 says, if your enemy is hangry, give him food to eat. If he's thirsty, give him water to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head, and the Lord will reward you. This is the word of the Lord. Go ahead and have a seat. We have a God who is good. How many of us know that? That we have a good God, right? And we know that, you know, God invites us that we see him to be good, but also we see him as one who does good, because God does good. And often you see in scripture that what God is, or what God does, often invites us to do the same. Or who God is often invites us to be that. You know, God is kind. He invites us to be what? Kind. God is gracious. He invites us to be what? Gracious. God forgives, and he calls us to also forgive. God is good, and he wants us to be good and to do good in the world. But when it comes to doing good, there are some misconceptions, and I could think of three that I wanted to mention this morning. When it comes to do good, there are these three misconceptions. Misconception number one, do good when you feel like it. You know, I do good only when I feel like it. And there are moments that you consider, hey, I'm going to do that good thing because I feel good to do it. Or I don't feel like doing good today, so I'm not going to do it. You know, I don't feel like going to them, so I'm not going to go. I don't feel like forgiving them, so therefore I'm not going to forgive them. I don't feel like being kind to them, therefore I'm not going to be kind to them. You know, but we do not do good because it feels good to do good. We do not do good because, hey, we only have to do good when we feel good, but because we cannot really overcome evil with evil. We can only overcome evil with good. So therefore, we're going to do good even when we don't feel like it. And even when it does not feel good, we're still going to do good. And often we want to do good when we feel like it. It's because doing good is hard. And we want it to be easy. We want it to be easy flowing, and therefore I'm going to do it. But it's a struggle. It is hard to do good because you don't just stumble into something good. You actually have to choose it. You have to embrace it. You have to go for it. So we might choose to do good even when it is hard to do that, because it is when we are doing good that we get to experience a good God. We get to experience God's grace, God's kindness through our doing, that we go again and do it. So don't fall into this lie that you only do good when you feel like it. No, you choose to do good even when you don't feel like it. Misconception number two, do good so people treat you well. Do good so people treat you well. And there are moments that we do that, right? Now, there's definitely a bit of a reality here where people tend to warm up to those who warm up to them. Yeah, like, yeah, you know, you've been good, then I'm going to be good to you. But for us believers, is the invitation is not we do good so that people treat us better. Because the reality is that there are moments when you do good and people will take your kindness for your right. Maybe some of you have experienced that. Ndawa, welcome, brother. Good to see you, man. Wow, bro, I haven't seen you in ages, eh? Welcome, man. We do good because we know what God has done is actually good. And we know for you and I, there are moments when we do good and people take our kindness for a ride, you know. And you're going to have moments like that. So you don't do good so that people treat you well. It's not about like, I'll scratch your back so that you can scratch mine. No, our primary focus in doing good is not to gain a response from people, but it's actually to help people respond to God. That's how we're going to do good. You know, and we choose to do good even when it means that these guys might not return that kindness to us. But as we do good to them, they can actually experience a good God in us and through us. So that's a misconception. When you do good so people can treat you well, that, hey, I'm going to do this to them so that, hey, there'll be a time when they'll do good to me. No, we do good regardless of that. Whether they take our kindness for a ride, we're still going to do good. And the last misconception is do good only to people who do good to you. Do good only to people who do good to you. This is when you choose to only show kindness to the people that have been kind to you. Hey, they're doing lovely things towards me, and therefore I'm going to do lovely things towards them. But actually, that's not a place for us believers, because we know, Jesus talks about this in Luke, I think, 33, where he says, if you do good to those who are good to you, what credit is that to you? Because even sinners do the same. Like, if you're only going to be kind to the people that are kind to you, there's no gain in that. If you're only going to be, you're only going to forgive the people that only offer forgiveness to you. Because that's how everybody actually lives. So you're not different from the world if you only show kindness to the people that are kind to you, if you only do lovely things to people that do lovely things towards you. Because when you do that, there's no difference. And we should not be good because people are good to us. We should be good because God is actually good to us. We should be good to people, not because people are actually good to us. We should be good to people because we ourselves have experienced God's goodness. We have experienced God's grace. And our doing of good is not responding to what others are doing to us, but actually it's responding to what God is doing in us. And therefore, we're going to go and do good to people. We're going to choose it. We're going to embrace it. So three misconceptions. Do good when you feel like it. Do good so people treat you well. Or do good when people do you good. But here we have a different way that we treat others, more especially when they have treated us badly. You know, Solomon here gives us a different way. You know, Christ invites us in a different way that we're going to respond. So how do we respond? How do we live our lives, more especially when people ill-treat us, when people treat us badly? How then should we respond? Number one, do not refuse people what they need most just to get what you want. Do not refuse people what they need most just to get what you want. This is what a proverb said. 25:21 says, if your enemy is hungry, give him food to eat. If he's thirsty, give him water to drink. You know, it's so easy to withhold good things from people that have been unkind to you. It's so easy to withhold good things from people that are ill-treating you. In fact, maybe for some of us, when somebody come looking for help and we know they did us wrong at one point, we actually consider that as an opportunity to get them back. Like, what? You did what to me and now you need what from me? I'm going to show you who is the boss now, right? And then you go and do that. But Solomon says, if your enemy is hungry, do not refuse him what he needs most, which is what? Food. What he needs the most in that moment is food. And do not refuse him that. Give him the food because he needs that. If your enemy is thirsty, he needs a drink. Do not refuse him what he needs the most so that you just get what you want. Give him a drink. That's what he says. Do not treat people, do not refuse people something that they need the most so that you just get what you want. This is not a moment for you to just feel like great or good about yourself or have a gotcha moment. Ha ha, I got you now. No, this is not a gotcha moment. This is a moment when they can actually experience kindness. They can experience grace. Yes, they might have refused you the friendship that you needed. Yes, they might have refused you the love that you needed. Yes, they might have refused you the opportunity you needed. Yes, they might have refused you the kindness or the dignity that you needed. But for you and I, because we believe in Christ, we're never going to refuse them that which they need the most in that moment. We will give it to them. So if your enemy or the person that has been unkind to you is looking for transport back home, they need transport, give it back to them. Give it to them. If somebody has been unkind to you, they are looking for an opportunity which you can provide. It's an opportunity they need the most in that time. Provide it. Give it. Give them the platform that they need. They're looking for a job, but you know, on merit, they can actually do it and gain it. You're not going to refuse them just because you are holding a grudge against them. They need that. You're going to provide for them. Why? Because your identity is never tied to what they did to you. Your identity is found in Christ. Your identity is found in what Christ has done for you. Not what they did to you, but what Christ has done for you. So do not harbor malice to the point that you're going to withhold what people need the most. That for you and I, we're never going to treat them as though their life does not matter, but we're going to treat them as though their life matters to God. And some of you maybe are withholding opportunities from people who did you wrong ages ago. Watch out that you don't refuse them what they need most, so you get what you want. There's some of you that are withholding help from others who did you wrong ages ago. But watch out that you do not refuse them what they need most. Some of us have even made a vow. I will never ever step my foot in her home. I will never ever be there for them, no matter what. We have made vows. Watch out that you don't refuse people what they need most, so that you just get what you want. Some of us even pray for a day when they will come to you looking for help. I cannot wait for them to come begging for me, right? Watch out that you don't refuse people what they need most, so that you just get what you want. Actually, what is it what you want? What do you really want? Like, do you want them to know that they were wrong? Is it actually your job to convict people of their sin? Or is it the Holy Spirit's job to convict people of their sin? What is it that you want? Are you looking for bragging rights? That, hey, I can do this to you as well. I am better than you. I'm bigger than you. Are you looking for that? Or do you actually need to live your life so that God gets the bragging rights, that he is glorified? Because it's only through your kindness that God's name would be glorified. And every time we get back at people, we don't win. We always lose. And you and I have to make a choice that either we're going to choose our own way or we're going to choose God's way. And I hope we can actually choose God's way. You can choose God's way. You cannot defeat evil with evil. You can only defeat evil with good. You know, there are other people that will treat you because they're in a bondage. Some of us have been thinking, I'm a victim, but actually you've been treated by somebody else. You've been ill-treated by somebody else who's actually a victim to their own sin, a victim to the hate they harbor inside. They don't like seeing what's there within themselves, and therefore they don't like anybody else's, you know, life. They hate their own life, you know, and we can only rescue people out of that jail through kindness, through doing good, through being kind towards them. So that's how God wants us to respond. When we've been irritated, our response is that we make sure that we don't refuse people what they need most, so that we just get what we want. Number two, don't take advantage of others in their vulnerable moments. Offer kindness instead. If your enemy is hungry, give him food to eat. If he's thirsty, give him water to drink. Give him water to drink. Now, this is quite interesting. Like, if an enemy comes to you, they're really desperate. Like, if somebody who don't like you and then finally decide, hey, let me go to them. Like, they're so desperate in that moment, yeah? And when they come to you in that moment, you realize they're actually vulnerable, you know, in that moment. And you could use that against them. You can take advantage of that. Or you can show them a different way. That for you and I, we're going to avoid using people's downfalls, as an opportunity to elevate ourselves. That we're not going to use their disadvantaged moments, their vulnerable moments, as opportunities to elevate ourselves. We're actually not going to do that. Because we know that the one who elevates us is God. And he does that even in the face of adversity. Because for you and I, our self-worth is not tied to people's downfall so that we can stand tall. Our self-worth is actually tied to Christ, who took a fall for us, who took a fall on our behalf so that we can have life. And every single time you're going to get back at people, take advantages of people's vulnerabilities, what you're doing is actually you're not really believing the gospel. Because the gospel is the good news of freedom, liberation, and grace. That in Christ, we see a God who never took our vulnerability to his own advantage, but actually he became vulnerable so that you and I can have life. That in Christ, we see a God who never uses our sin against us, but he lays down his life so that you and I can have a connection with the Father. That in Christ, we see a God who gives us grace, which is a gift that you do not deserve. So watch out that you don't use people's vulnerabilities for your own advantage, but actually show kindness. What is kindness? Kindness is choosing to treat people better, even at their worst. Choosing to treat people better, even at their worst. The third way, how he wants us to respond. Doing good should never be driven by how others treat you, but by who you are in Christ. Doing good shouldn't be driven by how others treat you, but by who you are in Christ. If your enemy is hungry, give him food. If they're thirsty, give them water. Do not allow people's action to drive your response to them. Don't. But let who you are drive your response to people. Our response to the bad that others do to us is actually not to hurt them back. That's us responding to them. But we're going to respond to Jesus. We're going to respond to the identity that we have received in Christ. Because you are a child of God. Who are you? You are a sinner who has received grace. And therefore you carry grace within you. And God invites you to show that grace to other people. Because of Christ, you have experienced peace. And God calls you to be a peacemaker. That's who you are. So you're going to go and make peace. You are a child of God who is never moved by what's happening to them, but always moved by what's happening in them. So you're going to respond to Jesus. You are a child of God who has been forgiven, and therefore you're going to go and forgive other people. You and I are never defined by our wounds or hurts. We're a chosen people. We're children of God. So therefore, because we're children of God, it is from that space that we're going to respond even to how people treat us. We're going to respond even to how people treat us. All right. I know it's hot, so let's finish. How do we respond? What could be your response to this? And I want to just pay attention to the second part, which is verse 22. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head, and the Lord will reward you. Here's how you respond. Number one, let God handle your pain. Let God handle your pain. Solomon here says, hey, when people offend you, what you do is that you carry your pain to God. Do not direct your pain to people, but direct it to God. Let God handle your pain. You know, he says, when you do this, you are heaping burning coals on their head. And you're like, okay, I get it, but I'm actually burning inside because of what they have done to me. It's hard. You know, when somebody wrongs you, it's painful, right? It's hard. But we're going to take our pain not to people. We're going to take it to God. We're going to take it to God. Now, this is not to overlook what has happened to you. It's actually a better way to handle pain, where you take your pain to the Lord. You take your pain to the Lord. Now, one way that we handle our pain to God is by letting ourselves be broken by the brokenness we see around us. When we mourn the brokenness we see around us, that's one way that we let God handle our pain. When we grieve over the brokenness that we see around us, we grieve over the sin that we see around us, we let God handle our pain. Because in tears, in mourning, in grief, there's actually a prayer, and the prayer is, things shouldn't be this way. People shouldn't treat each other this way. That's in grief. Life should never be this way. So we grieve it, and we pray. And when you get back at people, you are actually letting people handle your pain. When you get back to them, when you revenge, you're actually letting people handle your pain. But give your pain to God. Let God handle your pain. Number two, let God handle their offense. Let God handle their offense. The only way you can choose not to be offended is when you let God actually handle their offense. There are moments when we want to be a judge and a punisher of sinners. Yes, they did you wrong. What they did to you is unacceptable and should never be done. And there's no excuse for doing that. But you're not going to let yourself be the judge and the punisher of this sinner. You're going to let God handle their sin. In fact, it is God who's better at handling people's sin than you. So you're going to let God handle it. And this is, you know, moments when I think about like, oh yeah, let God handle them. You're thinking like, in my hands I can punish them a little bit, but my big God, not, hey, he's going to really inflict that pain, right? Like he's going to punish them really nicely. So you pray these crazy prayers. God, visit them. It's like, what? Deal with them, God, right? But actually the core for us is that when we let God handle their offense, we are exposing them to a merciful God. We are actually exposing them to a gracious God. And it is God who will change their hearts. It is God who will change their hearts, because we realize that it is not good for people to keep on sinning against other people. And therefore, we're going to offer them to God, because we know that it's only in God that their lives will be changed. And when they're changed, they become better citizens in the world. So we're going to let God handle their offense. You know, and because if you don't do that, you're just going to become just like them. If you handle their offense, you're going to become just like them. And some of you know this. You used to trust people. Now you no longer do. You were responding to people's offenses, and you're handling them. And now it's made your heart callous. Finally, love others with hope. Love others with hope. He says, in doing this, you heap many coals on his head, and the Lord will reward you. Paul says that it is kindness which leads to repentance. Burning coals on his head. Now, when you look at burning coals on their head, for those that grew up in Malawi and been in the village, you understand this, that in the villages, it's not everybody who has a match to lit up their fire. You know, there are moments when, if not often, you go to your neighbor's house and you ask for burning coal. And you bring it, and then you lit up your fire using their fire. The people who do wrong to you, their kindness has faded away. And they need it lit up again. The people who did you wrong, their mercy faded away. And that needs to be lit up again. And that can only happen through good. That can only happen through kindness. So this is not like, let's get people burning and punish people. No, this is actually, we're going to do good so that there will be change. And therefore, we're going to love with hope. We're going to love with hope. Every time we get back at people, we choose to not see the gospel. The gospel is for people who do not deserve grace. The gospel is for people who are sinners and are receiving a gift from God, a gift of faith and the gift of grace. That's the gospel. And now when we talk about enemies, we're often thinking about who is my enemy. You're looking at others being enemies to you, but we don't consider about us being enemies to other people. And our reality is that for you and I, we were once enemies of God. Enemies of God. Enemies of God. But because of Jesus, he comes in and he lays his life down for us so that you and I can have hope and have a connection with God. That we are no longer enemies. We are now friends of God. And therefore, we're going to choose the same for others. We don't forgive so that other people change. We forgive because we change as we forgive. Here's the one thing. Let me finish this. Here's one thing that I know is that none of us wants to be defined by a mistake we made in the past. None of us wants our life to be hinged to this season of our life where we made bad choices. None of us want that. We live lives of hope where it's like, no, that thing cannot define me. And if it still keep on defining you, you are fighting that. You want to move forward. But here's what happens. When you don't forgive people, what you're saying is that that person, you want that person's life to be defined by a mistake they made in the past. You are saying to them, I want to see you all of your life just only be defined by this season of your life where you made bad choices. So therefore, I'm not going to let go. And forgiveness pins someone to a past they're not proud of because you believe your past hurts matters more to you than the grace of God which he provides to you now. But Jesus has a better future for you. And he has a better future even for people that did you wrong. And therefore, may we treat them with kindness and compassion and grace. Just close your eyes for a moment. Maybe as I was saying, maybe this brought up things for you or names for you or a situation that came up for you. And maybe God might be just calling you for you to consider forgiving, to consider doing a kind work, to consider doing a kind act. Maybe God is just calling you to consider going to them and saying, I forgive you, or to consider going to them and saying, I'm sorry. Maybe God is calling you to take a step of faith and say, I'm going to start on this journey with the Lord. What if we were to just pray? What is it that you need? Maybe you need God to strengthen you, to help you. Maybe we can just pray for that. You can ask for that. It could be a phrase that was said or a scripture or a word that stuck with you. That's God's voice. That's God's voice for you. Just pray for yourself so God can help you. So God can help you. And maybe there could be, you could be here in this building or online, where you've been living your life as though you are the enemy of God, an enemy of God. Maybe you don't know it yet, but if you don't do that which God calls you to do, you live your life as if you're an enemy of God, because God is not known to you. But I want to invite you to a new reality, that God wants you to know that you could be his friend, that you could be a friend to God. That Christ laid his life down for you to call you in. And maybe today it's your day that you could say yes to him. If you want to cross the line of faith, if you want to start a journey with Jesus, just pray this simple prayer. Just say, Jesus, I give you my life. Forgive me of my sin. Just pray that simple prayer. Jesus, I give you my life. Forgive me of my sin. If you're not born again and want to just give your life to the Lord, just pray, Jesus, I give you my life. Forgive me of my sin. If you have prayed that prayer, it could be here online. Just raise your hand. I want to just pray with you. If you prayed, Jesus, I give you my life. I want to pray with you. God, I thank you for these friends. And I pray, God, could be here. Or the ones that are here, the ones that are online. God, I pray that they will know that you, God, have been pursuing them. You have all been for them. That's why you sent your son. that you love them so much, and may they remember that love. May they realize and experience that love. And I pray, Father, that they'll no longer live as enemies of God, but friends of God. May they experience your goodness over and over again. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.